Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Latin Generation panel call on 4th of April 2019. We have Bill, Dennis, John Paul, Mats, Mikhail Momin, Michael Boland, Mariana, and Sarmad on the call. So over to you, Mariana.
Well, before we start reviewing the last two homeworks, which we didn't haven't done up to now, I wanted all you first. We have to agree. I forgot it. Who needs the Walmart IT to be paid? When I don't speak English for a while, I'm losing words, and my fluency is lost usually. Okay. What do you think? How many accounts on Wordmark on this site we need? No hands up.
I'm sorry. Can you? I don't.
You know that I forgot to put it in the agenda. But Titinan asks, who needs the access to wordmark.it website for further investigation of fonts and everything? How shall we organize all the stuff in the future? Should we
Do we really need more access than we have today?
Yes, you didn't read Michael had proposed something. Maybe we could get it for the group chair, Dennis, Matt, Mariana. Because we shall need some access to the wordmark.it, and access to Google Fonts is restricted now. It should be paid.
So, this is Dennis.
Please, Dennis.
So, my reaction on that, I mean, I think we started using Google Fonts just as a convenience for everybody to see the same thing, but I think at this point we can work with the fonts that are available. And let me backtrack. Why do we need it? I think I don't understand why do we still need access to specifically Google Fonts moving forward. And I'm sorry, maybe this was already discussed last week.
No.
I did not attend, so that's why I don't understand why.
We have not discussed it because the things happened last week. So that's a new thing which should be discussed and somehow concluded. Please, Bill, go on. You are the first, and Michael is the second.
I'm wondering if we need to consider whether we should include a reference in our document that is only available for subscription, as opposed to, say, something like Google Fonts, which is available for free. Is that an issue for anybody? Thank you.
Michael, please
yes,
go
I
on.
I want to summarize the situation for Dennis and everyone else. So that we,
yes, please.
The basic idea is that before we had used WordMark to conduct some analysis comparing different glyphs and code fonts across different fonts, we decided to use Google Fonts instead of local system fonts because it was the only unified source we could decide on, because we would never know which fonts would be installed on the different user machines. WordMark has recently introduced a paywall, that is, you are not allowed to use the website anymore using Google Fonts as well as other features which have also been put behind the paywall. During our last meeting last week, for example, there were one additional request, for example, from the side of Bill, or a suggestion from the side of Bill, for one item which still needs comparison, for example, in my analysis. So to complete that, I would need access, but I assume that we will be coming back again to it in the future in case we need to wrap up some of the cases which remain open. So I would suggest for simplification, since we don't need to account for every member of the group, that we would go maybe with the general chairs of the groups and subgroups. Previously, I think Dennis was for the variant group, Max was for the repertoire group, Mariana is the chair for the whole. So, and then, I mean, we can just share those accounts. I don't think that we will need more than something like a couple of accounts used simultaneously because the bulk of the work is done. Does that clarify the situation, Dennis? Thank you.
I mean, as far as, this is Dennis, as far as clarification, yes, it does, but I don't know, maybe it's just a distraction. If we want a unified way to, I mean, are we talking about visual analysis? I mean, if it's visual analysis, then for that we have the Arial, Courier New, and Times New Roman that everybody, I believe, has those in their systems, and it's pretty much consistent across all those systems. I don't know. I'm just thinking, I mean, if I can do it on a flip and give us access quickly, yes, by all means, but. I don't know why this is something that we need to bring up on the call. That's what I'm reacting in this way. I mean, we can maybe take it offline and focus on the proposal and the issues.
Okay. Let's hear what Mats has to say, and after that we shall continue with things we should be discussed. Mats, please, go on.
Yeah, I mean, either we have an account for everyone, I think, or we cannot use it. I mean, we cannot have an account and then share it, because that's against the probably against the rules of the subscription. So either or, if we could have one, if we have just a few subscriptions, it means that it's a burden on those to create a lot of printouts, so to say, to share. If this would be like $24 per person, times we are 8 or something. So if this is not very much, so it could be worth, because then we could look at the same thing instead of depending on that the system funds are equal. But I don't think it's very important, but I think it would be more convenient.
Okay. I'll think a little bit about it. Maybe Michael's proposal is the only one we have, so we can ask for 3 accounts, for example, for this WorldMark IT, or 2 or 1. I think 3 is enough, not too much, not too less. We shall cope somehow in the future with it. Probably we don't need, we shall not need it for, it will satisfy our okay, sorry. There was no response. Miriana did put it on the agenda. I didn't think, Michael is saying, don't think it is a discussion about methodology regarding our analysis, but a matter of practicalities. Okay. If everybody agrees, we shall ask for three user IDs on WordMark IT. I will send a mail to the list, and if nobody objects, we shall order three of it, and I hope we shall finish with it, everything what is necessary. Hazem, please. Hazem, please go on.
Yes, hold on. I just checked now, it doesn't look that it has the link to the Google account. It seems that the account email is your username and password. So you can have two or three accounts and share them with it, whoever wants to use it.
Okay. Okay, we should. Mats, please.
Well, do they permit that we share the account?
We shall check it. We shall check it at the end.
Yeah. Otherwise, if we have just two or three accounts, it will be a burden on those to create printouts for everyone else. I think that I don't think that's a good idea. So
okay.
Rather that everybody has an account, or that we're not dependent on.
Okay, we could start with a few accounts, and if the and I don't expect a lot of new printouts should be produced in the future. We shall see. We should start with something and see how the things are going on. I cannot imagine what will be in the future. Why don't we ask it, Michael, Matt says everybody or none. The site is operated by one person only. Why don't we ask it if it is an issue for them to create an account we can all use? We, Sarma is responding. We are already communicating with the website owner. So Sarmad will investigate what are the rules for using this website, and after that we shall continue with discussion about it. So let's go on with the other stuff we have here. Let's put this open till we get all the informations what are necessary. We didn't conclude anything. Up to now, we shall make the conclusion probably during the next meeting. How shall we use WordMark.it? Okay? We go? Hazem? Hazem, please go on.
Yes. I just checked now again. The site says, as an ordinary user, these features, except tagging, will be free for you for a limited time until the 1st of May. So, that's written at the very bottom of the page. So maybe we can use it till the 1st of May and finish what we need.
We can, maybe. Okay, let's leave a decision for the next meeting when we collect all the information, because at this moment we don't know how long we shall need this account and how much things should be done using those accounts. So the question, the problem arose, and we couldn't solve it today. We shall wait for the report from Sarmad, and after that we shall make a decision. That's it for this. The other, the second item of the agenda, I was not sure what should be put in the final report, but maybe we can skip this for the moment and try to to go on with the item number after we can continue to finish the review of our homework. After that, we shall have some new stuff, some new investigation to be done with in the future, and let's not lose time discussing what should be put in the report. Let's postpone this question and go to the to finish this investigation about homework which we could probably finish today. Please, Dennis, take the lead. I am not in a very good state today. Will you?
Thanks, Mirjana. Actually, I will ask someone that was present last time to lead the call as I'm catching up. Otherwise, we'll just go through the action item list. Is that okay? I mean, what's the preference?
Okay, as you like, please.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so going through the list from the top, number one, the URL underlying analysis. I'm still on this. I think we haven't touched this since we last met in Brussels. I think we need to, again, based on the feedback that we got from IP, after them reviewing our preliminary analysis, we have to review it again. And there are, so if I remember correctly, there were a few cases where we tagged them as review. So we do indeed need to go over the analysis one more time. Do we want to use this time to do it, or was there any other action item from last week that we need to address first?
As I recall, we have to finish two more analysis of non-visual investigation, which we started before, let's say.
Yeah, so let me do this. Let me open up the worksheet, and let's do that and see if I can share my screen, please, Sarmat. Yes, Mirjana, go ahead.
Because we have finished some of them, we have finished those homeworks from Dennis and Matt have not been reviewed yet, because we have reviewed Michael's, Mirjana's, Bill's, Hazem, and Michael's homework. So the last two could be done today or whatever you like.
Oh, so you are talking about the
basic analysis. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I was asking whether there were any action items left from last week that we need to address first. So let's switch to those then. So which ones are we need to do next, Mirjana?
Yours or Matt's? And Fitin and sent all the Fitin and sent in the mail. In mail, she sent all.
Mine is on screen. Let me share the the link on the chat window. I think we need Matt's. Probably I have the I have it somewhere. Let me see if open. No.
I just report in an email, so I didn't do such a fancy report as the rest of you.
You send an email. Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was a long time ago.
Can you, Yeah, can you fish that email for us, Matt, please?
Yeah, we'll
while
try.
We go through. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. All right. All right, so the analysis on screen. So here we analyze, or I analyze, combining Sedilla below, Ogonek, and Coma below. So three different diacritics. The only repeated base letter was letter S with Sedilla and Coma below. And there was another one. Yeah, no, I think that's the only one. So let me see. Yep, that was the only one. So come here and come below. So here visually they are consistent different, right? But there's an argument that Coma below and Sedilla below have historical relationship, if you will, of being interchangeable. I don't know if we have that documented somewhere, and so I think we need to find that information. Is that correct understanding? Yes, no, I'm just waiting some reactions from the panel. Meiko, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I was asking, I wanted to ask, where does this information come from? Is it something which IP pointed at about Sedilla and Coma below being historically related, number one? And secondly, why is the historical relationship, deciding argument in such a case that we should consider them equivalent? I do see grounds on visual similarity, for example, in this case. I'm not sure how this argument, which was now newly raised, comes into play. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Yes, so we have anecdotal information from IP, namely Asmus, I believe. It's been brought up several times now that Coma below, Sedilla below have some historical past. I mean, there's some history about these two diacritics that has been used interchangeably. But again, this is anecdotal information. There is no evidence, written evidence, that we can really back up that notion of it. In lieu or in lack of that evidence, then I don't think we can rule this as a variant relationship based on visual similarity. I mean, if anything, they are just visual similar. We can put it on the visual confusable list, but does not warrant a variant relationship. I think that's what I'm. So I'm waiting reactions on you guys. So, Michael, is that a new hand?
No, I can respond briefly to what you said. The only final question I have on that is I think that's a separate discussion whether it's something for a string similarity high life list or whether it actually warrants a variant status. That's a separate discussion. But the first discussion I wanted to make was that historical similarity based on inconclusive evidence so far has not been an argument. To give a simple example, W was formed on the basis of the sequence of 2B, but nobody would suggest nowadays that they should be kind of the same or like German SZ was formed or German sharp S was formed on the basis of sequence of S and Z, but no one would suggest them to be in a variant relationship with the sequence SZ on the basis of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Matt?
Well, I was about to try to say something similar to what Michael said. So historical situation is not a basis for our conclusion. We should base it on concurrent usage, not historical usage.
I think I agree with you guys. I'm just bringing up the conversation we have with IP, and if we're clear that there is no the historical relationship or interchangeability that may have happened in the past does not apply to current conventions, if you will. I mean, if that's a good way to summarize what we just talk about, Mekong, is that new hand?
No, sorry, I still forgot lowering it. In response to what you said, yeah, more or less, yes. Like, historical similarity is impetus and forms the basis of, amongst other factors, for similarity today. But it is similarity today which we are considering. So, yes, your summary is correct, I think. Thank you.
Thank you. So what we are arriving here, these are not even a case for string similarity, or is it a case for string similarity? And the reason I'm asking, because we're building this list of, you know, subjects, candidates for string similarity review, Meka?
Yes. By string similarity, you mean not a variant in the strict sense, but for a separate checklist. Is that correct?
Sorry, Meka, can you say that again? I was distracted reading the chat room.
No problem. I was asking, string similarity means not variant in a narrow sense, right?
Correct.
So I'm undecided whether it means the whether it matches the threshold for a variant, but it should be either of the two, I think.
Okay. And we have, so going back to the chat, Bill Juris agreed, let the history go. Okay, so yeah, I think unless anybody objects to that, I think we are agreeing history is history. Michael, I would say it's a case for string similarity. Okay, so I think we have rough consensus on this goes to the string similarity candidate. Okay, going back to the attendees list, I have two hands, Michael and then Michael. Please go ahead.
Sorry,
Michael,
it was an old hand. Whenever I click the button, there is a delay in raising and lowering hands. I don't know, something about the client.
No worries. Thank you. Michael, go ahead.
Okay, so I thought when you said strings similarity list, you meant the list that Bill was creating, where we consider certain characters on similarity issues, whether they should be variant. And I think this should be one of those two.
Thank you, Michael. That's a good question. No, they are different. What we're saying is that this pair goes directly to the string similarity list of visual confusable lists, confusables that we're building. I believe what you're referring to, what Bill's list is the one that we talked about 2 weeks ago. Out of these exercises, we're shortlisting code points to do a visual analysis. And from there, from that visual analysis, we can say, oh no, these two pairs under visual analysis, they have to be variants, or they can go to the string similarity list, or there is no action really. There is no variant relationship warranted.
Yeah, and from my point of view, we should also look at these two.
On a visual analysis, you're saying?
Yes, unless all of you agree that they are distinct enough, we don't have to look at that.
That's where I think that's where we were leaning towards. They were distinct enough, therefore they are not even warrant a variant conversation, and they can, but they can go to the strain similarity. So do you think we should do still do a visual analysis?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Michael on the chat room is agreeing with you, so let's do that. So Bill, if you kindly add these two co-points to the list you are assembling.
Done.
Thank you. All right, let's move on. Base character evaluation, the open E and letter E. See, these are the screenshots of the tool. Distinct enough. What do we say?
They look very distinct.
Okay, I think that was Matt's or Michael.
Yes, it was.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we're leaning towards not variants. They're pretty consistent and different. Okay, so no action, no further action required on that one. On the diacritic,
hands up.
I'm sorry. Yes, who has hands up?
That was me. I was just going to say, confusable maybe, but definitely not variants.
Okay, so do we have any hands on confusable, meaning as going to the stream similarity list?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, so no action. Thank you. All right, so moving on to diacritics, stacking evaluation. I think at this point we have formed a conclusion that being a single code point, meaning pre-composed code point, the stacking of the diacritic is going to be pretty much consistent above the base character, and there is no shifting of it at all. So that was the case of the with the base character A, and this is the E. And I'm also monitoring the chat window in case there is...
Dennis?
Yes, Matt?
To see any shifting, don't you need to have more than one character usually?
No, but to see the shifting, I just need to see the letter, the subject letter, right? And there is no shifting of the... The shifting doesn't occur because there is a letter, adjacent letter, right? Or is it? The shifting occurs because of the font,
sure.
The subject character is not rendered adequately. I have... let me go to the chat window first. Bill, agreed, pre-composed copoints do not pose a problem. It's the ones involving combining copoints which sometimes are problematic, and I think Bill built a list of those copoints, which is somewhere. Thank you, Bill. And then going back to the Hans, Michael, Bill, Matt. Michael, please, go ahead.
Thank you. I wanted to give support to what Matt said. I'm not sure whether there is sufficient evidence in considering such code points in isolation, because what we are trying to see is if in a string the modifiers above are somehow positioned towards the right, for example. And I'm not sure if that's clearly visible if we have an isolate code point. Also, I'm not sure if we have seen enough evidence on the question whether it's whether it relates only to precomposed code points as opposed to combining code points. But in any case, I think that the analysis as it is here is insufficient because it needs the same base character to the right of it. So, for example, O with horn and acute followed by an O. E with horn and acute followed by an E. If you remember that and have seen that on WordMark, then I think it's sufficient. Thank you.
Okay, let's... So, to make our point, you see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay. So let me scroll down a few fonts below to see any difference. So I would say it's pretty much consistent. There are a few here, but these are really rare. Hira, I mean, this looks like Japanese fonts.
Sorry, but can you scroll back?
Yep.
There were some fonts right now where one of the two modifiers is missing, the ones highlighted. I'm seeing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 cases. In the next row, it continues 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 types of 10 fonts where the first character code point should have two modifiers on top, but there's only one.
And the missing one has moved to the next one.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
if you look closer.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about really obscure fonts, and if I'm not mistaken, based on the names, these are meant for Japanese characters, not Latin letters. So yes, I see what you're seeing, but the large majority of fonts designed for Latin script are pretty consistent.
So far, it was my impression that the consensus was that we are looking for a significant minority, which may render things confusable. The majority will always be clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, if you look at the document that I produced, I did it strictly with Courier New, which is one of our three primary fonts that we've looked at. And with combining code marks, we get one of three different possibilities. Sometimes the combining code mark goes over the primary letter. Sometimes it's shifted to the right, but the adjacent letter is shifted over also, so the combining letter is basically over a blank. And in other cases, the combining letter gets put on the adjacent letter. And it might be useful to go directly to that document to see, so we can all see what I'm seeing. And since it's in one of our three primary fonts, we don't have to worry about whether we're looking at obscure ones or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. So can we, I mean, this is not the first time we're looking at diacritics, and I think I can confidently say that in the past we basically flew through these examples. We could pretty much consistently, the large majority of fonts will render this correctly. And now it looks like a minority of us think there's something going on that warrants some more analysis. So, and I hate to bring this up, but I mean, it looks like we're giving two steps ahead and then one step back, and we're dancing here instead of moving forward. So do we want to do a visual analysis on this? Just to shortlist a, perhaps doing ADL times and Courier New? I mean, that would be more efficient than going through screens of fonts and just focusing on a few of those, since Bill already identified one font that might be problematic with combining marks. Let's see what we can see there. Matt, and then Michael.
Yeah, I want to comment on the claim that the problem is only on non-precomposed characters. Actually, the previous meeting or the meeting before that, we actually had an example of a precomposed where the diacritics was moved. And I don't know how the fonts are created, if these are created in parts, in fractions, and the way they work makes it possible for the parts to move. So I don't think we can fully claim that. I mean, you would expect precomposed to be more stable, but it seems like that is not completely true.
That's correct, Matt. I mean, fonts is not something static, right? Even though we even in the hypothetical case, we can say to some kind of confidence that this is true today, we don't know what tomorrow fonts will be, right? I mean, fonts pretty much can look like anything. So
I'm not
sure
talking
what
about
we're trying
look
to.
Like. I'm talking about the stability of diacritics in precomposed characters,
mm-hmm.
in contrast to characters made up of a mark and a base letter. So it seems
okay.
Like we don't have this 100% stability of the precomposed. But I think that instead of scrolling through all here to look for this stacking problem, I think that the stacking problem should be focused on the standard forms instead. So cool.
Sorry, Matt. Focus on the what?
I think that when we look at problems with diacritics moving around, I think that analysis should be done on Courier times and Arial instead of hundreds of different fonts in word market.
Thank you, Matt. At least that's one action forward. So let me go to Michael and go back to Matt's recommendation. Michael, please
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to point out two things. First, in the data we have been seeing on the screen right now, 5 minutes ago or something, we saw one case where there was a glyph with two modifiers above, and one of them was moved to the right on the following character. Now, while you were scrolling through, I also saw your sample on the screen, but you already moved away, so I don't remember in which row it was, cases where the two modifiers were overimposed on one another. So that's a separate issue. There, I'm seeing it. Can you stop the screen? With the lag and the delay, you already moved past it. I just saw it again on the left-hand side. There were some faults. So my point is that the data supports two types of mix-up. First, the stacking diacritics are not systematically on the same code point. And secondly, they overimpose on one another, which makes it difficult to tell them apart from whether they have a circumflex above or a tilde above only.
But if you stop there it is.
Yeah, exactly. See the first two in the top line, for example? And there were more than that.
on the bottom line, the fourth from the left.
I see what you're saying, but what are we trying to do here? What are we going to achieve by, okay, yes, there are two fonts of very, I don't know, very obscure fonts.
So, what you just replied was skipping on my line because my headset lost battery. But I think your question was why we are working on obscure fonts. Is that right?
Why are we focusing on, on fonts that are not generally used on web applications? And that's why we shortlisted to Arial, Courier New, and Times New Romans, because those are generally used in web applications, email and such. I mean,
so
again, I see what you're seeing, but I don't know. So what are you recommending? Matt's already, there's a recommendation for us to do a visual analysis on based on the three selected fonts. What are you recommending?
Okay, so it is my understanding that we already have discussed this when we first developed this methodology. Back then, we had looked at visual similarity for CrossScript cases on three fonts and found that it was not significant in some cases. And then we decided to look at an extended set of fonts, and the only coherent font library which we could find was Google Fonts. So previously, we decided we need an extended set of fonts to make a clear judgment. Now you are saying those are minority fonts which are not representative. We should focus only on the minority of widely used fonts.
Okay.
Which
so
again,
no, I think
also
you're Michael, kindly.
Please.
I think you're conflating two things here. The only reason we started using World Market is to look at very large inventory renderings, if you will, to look at whether handwriting conventions were used in font design. That's the only reason we're doing World Mark. We're not doing World Mark for visual analysis. That was very clear from the beginning. So I think you are conflating two. We did not expand the visual analysis into Word Market. Word Market had its own purpose, and that's why I have been repeating from the beginning we started doing this, to not conflate one with the other. And that's why we are going in this in back and forth, because we're trying to look at this as a visual analysis, which is not. And I think what is being recommended is if we're doing visual analysis, then take these code points and build the worksheet based on the framework that we established before.
So, should I respond to that?
Yeah, please. Go ahead.
Thank you. So, my understanding is that your understanding of that process is wrong, because the understanding of the process was based on a suggestion I've made at the time, where we, based on our previous analysis, we developed this new construct of non-visual similarity. So the non-visual similarity in the case of base characters and the non-visual similarity in the case of, for example, stacking diacritics is conceptually different, because in the case of base characters, like, people may write two types of E's, but actually consider them the same. That's what some people may call a semantic identity. Now, in the case of diacritic stacking, it's not about what you call semantics. That is, the user sees two different code points, but considers them identical. It's the fact that because of circumstantial features, they may become confused by the user. So what I'm trying to say is that by design, these categories are different in that one tilts more to the visual side, one tilts more to the non-visual side, if you want to make that distinction at all. but I think you misunderstood the purpose of our analysis here, because we are looking. The idea was just to look for such cases where, for graphic reasons, things become mixed up, garbled up, in such a way that the user is not able to recognize the difference, even though a machine may be able to recognize the difference, because clearly they have different code points. I hope that's helpful. But anyways, I think we should have a group discussion and not, and like take a vote or something, or expand the discussion instead of just tabling it and saying we're dancing in circles. Because I think it's the linear understanding of these things which makes us go in circles. Because every time we have arguments of such kind, some of us advocate for having a group decision, and another say, no, we already judged on that. Thank you.
Okay, but any reactions? So one thing I will say, Michael, I mean, you propose doing this a non-visual analysis, but we refer back to a visual analysis, and that's why I'm saying we are conflating the two. Because if we were doing a non-visual analysis, then let's bring non-visual evidence. And I have not seen, I mean, if anyone has seen it, I haven't. So that's why I need others to weigh in, please. Michael, is that a new hand or old hand?
No, sorry, it's old.
Bill, please, go ahead.
I think I'm agreeing with Michael here. For whatever the reasons that we decided to look at these multiple fonts on WordMark, I don't think that we should refuse to consider evidence that we have found this while looking at these, regardless of why we decided to start looking at them. Evidence is still evidence, however we happen to stumble across it. And I don't think we should just say, well, we did this for a different reason, so we can't consider this for any other purpose. Thank you.
Well, to that, Bill, so we knew when we shortlisted the three fonts, we knew that there are a number of other fonts. And at that point, I remember that we said we're not going to pick and choose other fonts just to find, justify a something. So are we saying that we throw away what we already work with, and we are talking about doing this all over again? Michael, please.
Thank you. I would like to ask the other members present to basically take a vote or express their opinions on which our approach represents. But I don't think that what we're discussing right now says that we should throw away everything we've done and start anew. I don't think this is the implication of that. It's just a constant misunderstanding we have of our own methodology, because the things are complex, and probably precisely because visual and non-visual similarity are not, strictly speaking, different. So if the group could individually take a stance on which they think is the correct approach to take, we can take a group vote and move forward from that. Thank you.
Matt?
We know that fonts
have different level of quality, and just because we see a single font or maybe two, three that we consider not being the most frequent used, just because we see problem in those. I don't think we should base our work on such examples. It should be more something that is more outstanding than just some example. We have to remember that this area is not sharp and in clear categories. It's a gray area, similar or not similar. It's a matter of judgment. It's a difference in fonts, and we also know that there is a similarity between L and 1. Okay, 1 is not used, but L and 1, but we cannot consider that. L and 1 is a bad example because 1 is not in a TLD. But there are other things within ASCII that could be confused. So we have to make a reasonable judgment out of it. And I think that we worked with Arial, Korea, and Times, and that was just focused on those. And I think that it should be the main fonts to work on. And here, Samad write something in the chat box.
All right, and also I like to add. I mean, the IP recognizes the work that we do in a script that is widely used. It's difficult, but they repeat it, right? Again, while we were met in, I think, short 3 weeks ago, we need to focus on clear-cut cases. Anything beyond that, it's just that is not obvious, needs to be, you know, put aside either for string similarity or something else. So let me go back to Sarmat's okay. So just minding the time, Mirjana, I don't know. I think I'm also in favor of just if we're doing visual analysis on these cases, we stick with our framework that we established long ago. I think we were comfortable with it. And so, Mirjana, I'll turn back to you.
Yeah, should we wait 1 minute more because Sarmad is typing and Michael is typing? I will also support your proposal and Matt's proposal to stick to the fonts we have used previously with the string similarity for visual analysis. Oh, sorry, as we have done before. Sorry for my low energy for today. I'm not capable to guide this meeting, but we are at the end. So we have Sarmad is saying this suggests that we need to limit analysis to reasonably designed fonts. That is something which we have done before. And let's finish at this moment, and I want you all to think about it and to take your stand the next time. First question will be,
Dennis will help me to finalize this question. How shall we proceed using those funds we have used before, or shall we introduce some new techniques for investigating visual analysis? Okay, thank you very much for being present at this meeting. Sorry for my low energy and my bad English for today. I hope next time will be better. And my proposal is that we have a next meeting next Thursday again. I expect that we should have these meetings every week, let's say two or three more weeks, until we somehow finalize all this list which we have, because those ones are the most complicated, which we are doing now. And thank you for being present at this. If everybody agrees for a meeting, does everybody agree for meeting next week? Any objection? I don't see any hands up.
No, thank you, Marjana.
So thank you very much, and hear you next week. Thank you, and bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Thank you, Marjana. Thank you, everybody.
Have a nice goodbye. Rest of the day. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.